And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and with the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there for 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought, and his angels prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, that ye dwell in them. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he has but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time, and times and a half a time, from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, and he might cause her to be carried away with the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have testimony of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we bless that reading of his precious word.
Well, look, if you have your Bibles this evening, turn to Revelation chapter 12. When we come to the Lord's table, we come and we obviously speak that verse that the Apostle Paul quotes in the institution. As often as you eat this bread and drink of this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And when we gather around this table tonight, it is 3 things which are taking place. We do remember, do we not, of the great sacrifice that he made and the great cry, finished, an atonement for our sins. We also come in the present. We've got a wonderful opportunity that we declare then the very fact of the victory of forgiveness of sins, that there is eternal life there found at Calvary. We do that in the present. And also in the present, we are looking to the future. We do this until he comes. And this table itself is then just a very small token, manifestation of one day where we will sit in the marriage feast of the Lamb, and we will be together, and we will be eating the food of angels, and we will know that communion with our Lord. We look forward to that day. And with that then, for the next number of months when we come to the Lord's table, I would like us that we would turn to that book of Revelation, that would fix our eyes upon then the things which are to come. We know that when he tells us in Revelation chapter 1 that he writes these things which are soon to come to pass. And I know that people have ideas, but I want to show you that when you reach chapter 12, we're in chapter 12, we've got that far in our studies, and there's a great turning point, because from chapter 12 what you have is now contained of the things which happen in heaven. There's all the things that take place on earth, which is in the future, but now we have that which is to take place even in the heavens itself. There's an unveiling. There's something that is taking place where we know that what happens even now taking place in the heavens itself. And then I want us to look at this because it's important that we do know. Because so often what happens is that we are defeated, we are people who are opposed, we don't understand what's taking place in our lives, and this book helps us to understand that there are things happening in the background. Many years ago, there used to be a certain person no longer with us and living in Narberth. They used to come to the house and I would have to fill in forms. And the poor old soul, it was a desperate place she was in. She would come and I would have to even write a name. And then she would sign it, but I would have to write the name in the boxes, fill in the forms. She was challenged in many ways in her life, but that wasn't the real problem. The problem was this, is that there was someone in the background, someone of the family, manipulating all her life. And she had no control over it in any way. And there was a woman who just didn't understand how things weren't working out as they ought. And I want to show you tonight that that's something that we need to understand as a church and as a people, that what takes place is that there are things in the background, why there's opposition, why we find ourselves opposed, why it is so often we find ourselves, perhaps even we think, defeated. We need to look at this very chapter. And could I give a warning as we do begin? You know, when people come to these final chapters of Revelation, there are those who have a certain disposition that is only pessimism, gloom and doom. And you need to be really careful because that's not what these chapters are teaching us. If you listen carefully, it's given to the church to encourage the church in the days in which we find ourselves. And what you find now is here, in this chapter, we have, do we not, not the lion, the witch and the wardrobe, but you have the woman, the dragon and the child. And it tells us of the unfolding aspects behind the scenes in heaven then itself. And first of all, very simply, you have it here in verses 1 to verses 6. What takes place is that we're being told of a great sign appeared in heaven and a woman clothed with sun, moon under her feet and on her head a garland of 12 then stars. And he wants you now simply for this to look up and is to look up and to see something in the heavens. And the picture we have here is of the very church of God itself. That church in the Old Testament, that church in the New Testament. It's the great dream that Joseph had when he saw his brothers bow down before him. And now you need to know, whatever else you may think of the church tonight, as you look around this very place, and you may not think much of God's people and gatherings such as this, John says, look, a great sign appeared. It was the sign of the woman, and she was in the heavens. And so it was taught in the book of Ephesians and chapter 2, where it says, do you not realize that you now tonight, the very church of God, is seated with Christ in heavenly places? And the church is called the bride in the Old Testament and the New Testament, called the elect lady in 2 John. She is someone who is glorious. And you need that picture this evening that it is his church. And although we are seated in Narberth, we're also there before his throne. And he says that I saw. but you need to see something else also. It is a woman with child crying out in labor and in pain to give birth. It was that Old Testament church in which that promise was to come. God gave a promise in Genesis 3:15 that there would be a seed of the woman, and there was a great, great travail. There was a great childbirth that was to take place. There was labor that went on for centuries. And you read the history of then that people. But look in verse 3. Another sign appeared in heaven. This time it was a great fiery dragon having seven heads. And then you find that serpent of old, which we're being told about. See, you need first of all to understand that when there was the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into this world, that the dragon we're told in verse 3, he was having seven heads. In verse 4, his tail drew a third of the stars of heaven, and he threw them to earth. And he stood before the woman who was to ready to give birth, just for you to understand of the sheer enmity that God had said that would be between the woman and the serpent, of the coming of the child that will rule the nations. And when you read the history of this book and the people, such like in Moses' time, and Pharaoh wants to kill the male-born children, just as you read it also in the time of Queen Attila, killing all the male ascendants to the throne, just as you read it there when our Lord Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem, and when it came for time for Mary to give birth, there was there Herod who came and slayed those children of Bethlehem. Do you understand? Behind all that, we're given a picture that there is now one who stands and is opposed to the very child which was to come. And so it was that we find here in verse 5, and her child was to rule the nations and was caught up to God and to his throne. And he was born, and he lived, and he died, and he rose again, and he ascended even into the heavens. Now look, just for us to know, you need to know this evening that the church of God is that which is a highly exalted, but it has a great enemy also. And when you read of how the devil comes and does his particular work, there are certain moments and certain times, just as he has always stood before that child, before that being born, before he came into the world. But he was born, and he was thwarted. One has experienced many things in Christian ministry, and one, you'll learn this. For any time there is something even which is born within the church, even now, of a new venture, of a new evangelism, of a new path, immediately there is opposition. It's always at the beginning. And the reason for that is this, is that a baby is something that is has no strength of their own, so to speak. They're vulnerable beyond, and the devil in his wickedness, he stands before that child. I can say to you tonight, if anyone here knows of what it is to become a Christian, then there's a time in your life where you can expect that the devil will definitely be active. Any time there's new birth within the church, when the child is not even able to eat for themselves and drink and become strong and put on their armor, there is one which is against, even in your life. Remember that there is the dragon which stands before the child. But then there's something which we really need to know. It's from verses 7 to verses 12. And this is such an incredible comfort. It's now that the dragon is no longer able to stand before the throne. Now, if anything we take home tonight, this will be it. Listen to this part, because this gives us the revelation of what then happened in verse 7. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. Why this is so important is this, is because then war broke out. Then it was that the angels of God went on the offensive. When their captain, Michael, an archangel, leads the heavenly host against the devil. You say, what's significant about that? I tell you what's significant about it. It's this. It's when Jesus Christ had come into this world. It was because Jesus Christ had died on that cross. Jesus Christ was victorious. I'll give you a verse. Here it is in John chapter 12 and in verse then 31. This is Jesus speaking about his death at Calvary, speaking of the crucible, which was going to take place, of the crisis which was happening. And this is what he says. Listen to it. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And the Lord Jesus Christ, you see, saw something in the very fact that when he went to Calvary, although he was coming to die for sinful men and sinful women and bring them back to God, there was something else taking place in that very crisis where something was going to turn. That when Jesus Christ died, I understand it not. I don't know how it all fits together. I know there was a time where the Michael, the angel, had a dispute over the body of Moses. He said nothing. I know there was a time, for example, when Satan could enter into heaven and he could come with the other sons of God, and he sat there and he said, have you seen your servant Job? I know there was a time when in Zechariah and the priest Joshua was standing and Satan accuses him before the throne and nothing is said. And Satan comes in and Satan goes out. But when Jesus Christ died, something has absolutely changed in the very realms. Verse 20 of 1 Colossians. And by him to reconcile all things to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of the cross. And it's like this, that when Jesus Christ died, that the marching orders were given, and Michael's angels fought against the dragon. And that has great significance for you and for me this night. Jesus says, now is the ruler of this world cast out. Cast out from where? Cast out from heaven. And there was no place for him. Cast out. Look at verse 10. Something you need to hear. I heard a voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of God and the power of Christ has come. And here it is. And the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. That's the news for you. It's wonderful news. You read it in Romans chapter 8. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? There is no one who can come before that throne. Something has taken place, even in the heavens itself, that what happens this night, no one can come to God because Jesus Christ died, fulfilled that law, paid your sin, covered you with his blood, forgiven, counted righteous. No one can come to God. Satan can no longer come in and out as he once did. He's been cast down. And so we read here, you need to hear this wonderful, that they've overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. Now, isn't that great news? That tonight, you see, whatever else we may think, even ourselves, when Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, you know why? Because there's nowhere else he can actually plead his cause. He has no place in heaven to plead it. He can only plead it here on earth and plead it in your heart. And then he says like this, there is no place for him. You've overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. Look this evening that what takes place in our lives, there is a, you need to understand that as we live together, that there is no place for any charge against God's people. I know I used to give a little book out when people became church members, and perhaps I should give it out again, Living Together by Bonhoeffer. And I always remember the little part which he has. There is no place for any brother and sister to come and accuse another brother and sister before the throne of God. Satan has been cast out. And I suppose the only way those accusations could come is from his church, which stand around him. But you don't want to do the work of the devil. And God's finished that work. And there's no charge to be asked. Look, what happens in our lives is this. The devil is very powerful. And what you read here in these verses, so for example, where he tells us, verse 11, they've overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of the testimony, that they would not love their lives to death. The devil has a number of tricks up his sleeve. One of them is this, is that he'll always try and take you back into your old life, into your old sin. And if he can't do that, what he will do is this. He will then bring your conscience back to your old faults and to your old failings. Always bringing them up. Now it can happen. I don't think he hasn't got the power for it to happen. I know a faithful brother who has been a great encouragement to many over the years, and he has been constant in the very means of grace. And then I have a phone call, and he says, Chris, can you help me? I said, what's the problem? You're not going to believe this, but something happened all those years ago, more than 40, could have been 50 years ago, and all of a sudden, it's all coming back to me. And 50 years of godly living won't defeat it. Only the blood of Christ. And you've got to know of what it is to overcome. But he can do it. And not only does he bring your past faults back, he brings those faults that you're prone to so often. You trip up, you fall into. And he always comes and says and shows you the failings and the emptiness. Listen, you have overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. That cross was powerful. Powerful on earth, powerful in heaven. The blood of Jesus cast out the dragon. Cast him out. And he has no place there anymore. No one can bring a charge against God's elect. It is God who justifies. Wonderful, isn't it? It truly is. And you need to know then that the dragon stood before the woman. The dragon can no longer stand before the throne. But you need to read verse 12. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, and he knows that his time is short. The third thing for us to know tonight, because of these two things, the devil's work is now here on earth. He's got a short time, but I tell you again, listen to what you're reading. He was thwarted in the coming of Christ. He was defeated in the heavens, and now he's cast down on earth, and so he is to persecute the woman who gave birth to the male child. And that's why this evening, that the church which we find ourselves in is a church which is harassed and persecuted, and there's opposition, and it is that he is enraged with the church. But you need to know what God will do and what God does do. It says in verse 14 that the woman was given two wings of a great eagle. That's the picture of them coming out of Egypt. And what happened was, you say, well, they didn't actually have wings. No, they didn't have wings. But the way that they came to the Red Sea. The Red Sea was open. They went into the wilderness. There was that clearance which God gave. And the flight was swift. And so it is that with his church, he then takes her into the wilderness. Now, mark that down. This is what is to come. It's the history of the church. When it says there, for a time and times and half a time, that is always very simple. That is 3.5. Either 3.5 years, 3.5 months, 3.5 days. It's always 3.5. There's times, times, and half a time. That's the whole time of this coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, as he's come and been victorious. Very simple. That when God made this world, we think that he made the world, and we think, do we not, of 7 days. He made it in 6. He had 1 day rest. When God has done his work of salvation, there's before Christ and after Christ. And of these 3.5, this whole period of time, the church has found itself in the wilderness. How the church goes on. Read the history of the church. Incredible. How it's driven into the deserts. How it's found in the very dark ages, in the Swiss Alps and the French Alps, away from all the place. Think of the history of this very place we worship. All the way around Wales, you say, look at those chapels in the wilderness. Now, I know we're on a big thing these days. We want to be a community church. I know we want to be at the heart. We want to be the center of power. We want to be people who are influencing things. But when God comes and does this work, he's always sending his church in to the wilderness. I remember reading a book by Perry Miller, and he wasn't a Christian, but he actually gives something of the Puritan fathers going off into America. He entitled the book, Into the Wilderness, as they went to that new land, trying to find that place of worship that they could come and have a freedom. That's the history of God's church. You must never be too concerned if we're pushed outside to the margins of society and community. That's where God has established his work. That's where he's fed them. That's where he's watered us. That's where we got strength from. And he does it throughout the history of his church. But then look at this. In verse 15, the serpent is mad. He spews out water from his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. And one of his great works is this, always by the mouth, by the mouth. And he comes in like a flood. If you want to know what's happening in our land today, it's like a flood, that the things of the church and the gospel are being washed away. If you've had a flood, it's so fast, it's so ferocious, it comes and it sweeps and everything is gone. But here's the point that you've got. In verse 16, the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood. Just read and read what is on your side. The dragons thwarted, the dragons defeated. He only had a third with him. Two-thirds on the angelic host still stand. And then when it comes to the world that we live in, don't you believe for any moment that any blade of grass is neutral in this world. When you think of the football that you watch and they say things like this, they had the rub of the green. When they have these football matches and they say that the referee was biased, you're being told that when you live on this earth, the very earth itself has a bias and a bent towards the very children of God. And in the very fabric that God has made this earth, there's a creation which groans for the redemption of the children, of the sons of God. It's a powerful, we're not on our own. He could send the frogs and the flies into Egypt, and they were for the children of God. He could open up the Red Sea for them to escape, and he sent the earthquake to devour those who rebelled. He could send, could he not, the birds to feed Elijah and the dogs to lick and to eat even Jezebel. When you come and you realize that in this world, and so it is that you may think that everything's against you. It's not. There's that which is a bent for the very things of God. Look tonight as we come to this table, and the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have a testimony of Jesus Christ. Look, there is opposition. We're told what is to come. These are the days that we're living in. But these events that we read about are the events which have taken place in heaven itself. And if you only understood that, that it's not just the difficulties which are seen, but you also know the things which are for you, and that though he rages against those who've got a testimony for the Lord Jesus. You give your testimony, you stand for Jesus, there are big things coming your way. You live for God, not only now with your lips, but with your feet. There's big things coming towards you. But you've got to know that he's able to save you, and that all is going for you in the things then of God.